Listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. The storms that have been plowing through California for a week now have caused flooding and some mudslides. There have been evacuations in Santa Barbara County, where people like Oprah Winfrey and Prince Harry have their homes, as well as Ellen DeGeneres, who has posted on social media a video of her standing near a rapidly rising creek.
This is crazy. You're having unprecedented rain.
More from CBS's Carter Evans in Santa Cruz.
Many flooded roads throughout the San Francisco Bay Area are impassable. High wind and high water, uprooted trees. Just in the past 10 days, Oakland, California has more rain than it normally gets in the entire season.
The Justice Department is looking into a handful of documents marked classified that were left at a foreign policy research center dating back to when President Biden was vice president. More from CBS's Stephen Portnoy on the first story reported first by CBS News.
Sources tell CBS News roughly 10 classified documents were found at D.C.'s Penn Biden Center in a locked closet mixed with other materials from Mr. Biden's time as vice president. The discovery was made as personal lawyers to the president were clearing out his old offices at the think tank that bears his name. The White House says once the lawyers saw the classified markings on the documents, they stopped what they were doing and called the White House counsel. That office then notified the National Archives, which took the documents and called in the Justice Department. We're told a review of this matter has been underway for weeks, being run out of the U.S. Attorney's Office in Chicago.
The House of Representatives has narrowly passed a rules package, the first order of business for the new Republican majority and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Democratic Congressman Jim McGovern, ranking Democrat on the Rules Committee, blasted the package and the House Republicans.
What I'm concerned about is not just what's written down here. I'm concerned by the backroom deals that Speaker McCarthy made with the Freedom Caucus in exchange for their votes.
Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy negotiated the rules package with a far-right faction of lawmakers in order to secure their votes for him as Speaker. Thousands of nurses at two New York City's largest hospitals walk off the job. CBS's Matt Piper.
Save lives!
The New York State Nurses Association, which represents the workers, says it's being forced into the drastic step of striking because of chronic understaffing that leaves nurses caring for too many patients. Nurse Lorena Vivas.
We are not out here for wages. We are out here because we want patient safety.
The strike involves two of the largest hospitals in the city. One by one, other hospitals struck agreements with the union as the deadline approached. Matt Piper, CBS News, New York.
On Wall Street today, stocks closed mixed. The Dow closed down 113 points. The NASDAQ closed up 66. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnier with your headlines. Yes, prices at the pump are on the rise again. GasBuddy.com reports prices in Wisconsin are up 7.7 cents a gallon in the last week, today averaging $3.08 a gallon. That's about 10 cents per gallon higher than 1 year ago. The higher price is being blamed on the severe cold during Christmas week that caused a number of refinery outages. CNH industrial workers in Racine still on strike after rejecting an offer from the company over the weekend. Workers say they're worried the proposed hike won't cover inflation and healthcare costs. CNH Industrial reported a 22% increase in profits in the third quarter this year compared to last year. The strike, which began in May, is now the longest running strike in the last few years. No playoffs this year for the Green Bay Packers. They're out after losing to the Lions Sunday night at Lambeau 20-16. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit wesaysaveit.org. That's wesaysaveit.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey!
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlo at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It is the Monday after the first Packers game, and I think everyone right now is licking their wounds.
But I do love that you're leading with The Bears Still Suck as the intro song. I mean, we're already on to week two.
Why are we not good at the season opener?
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station. The Shaw, 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls, always streaming at W.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, yeah, I got to tell you, I saw Lauren Boebert, Gun Fetish Barbie. One of her big videos is how thrilled she was that the first act that she was able to perform was to do her little Annie Oakley, that they're tearing down the metal detectors. And I could care less about the metal detectors, but at least now if something bad happens in Congress, if someone does get a gun in, maybe shoot one of them, we now know who to blame. That's all she set herself up for. This kind of performative display, hey, look at me, because that's all she's about. At least now we know. We now know who to blame. That's simple. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on, hey, first day in Congress. How's it going? How's the Republican House clown show going? I've asked our good friend Joe Walsh to come talk with us. You may remember Joe was former Republican congressman, also former Republican presidential candidate, now host of the podcast White Flag with Joe Walsh. Joe, thanks for taking time for us.
Rick, my friend, happy 2023. Damn good to be with you.
How are you? How are you? I haven't seen you in a while. How was your holiday?
You've gotten too big for me. You only have me on once every few months now. Life's changed. I'm good. Thank you.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear you had a good holiday. So what do you think about the metal detectors? Were we pro-metal detectors, anti-metal? Where'd you find yourself?
I guess, like you, I could care less, but you make the good point. I'm a huge gun guy, probably as big of a gun guy as Lauren Boebert is a gun gal. But you know what? I don't need to brag about it. I don't need to boast about it. I don't need to. I never needed to take campaign commercials carrying my latest firearm. These new people on the right, Rick, it's not what they believe. They've got to be like performance artists. It's crazy.
No, it's nuts. And look, I'm not anti-gun. I think we should have some saner regulations. I believe everybody's in favor of gun control. It's just a matter of where we draw the line. And I would draw the line a little bit saner. That's all.
You and I would draw the line in a different place, but you and I could sit down and have that conversation. You couldn't do that with Boebert.
And that was really apparent. I mean, let me ask.
But that's it, Rick. That's the important point. And we're going to see a hell of a lot more of that these next 2 years.
Yeah.
These people are grifters. They're performance artists. They're, I forgot where I was. It was either CNN or MSNBC last week. All the craziness last week, trying to come up with a speaker. It was the perfect storm. But you literally had, part of the problem was you had people like Matt Gaetz and Lauren Boebert and a handful of others who would literally blow up the House chamber if it would get them on Tucker Carlson. It's like that's their animating thing here. It's all about getting on Fox News, getting clicks. It's not about what they believe.
Yeah, my congressman, Scott, pardon me, Perry, was right there in the center of the whole mix.
Scott Perry was right there.
Yeah, I mean, and what's interesting is, you know, they fought tooth and nail to make McCarthy the weakest speaker. So let me ask you this. How long does McCarthy make it? Do they eventually throw him out, you know, maybe tomorrow? I mean, is there a countdown clock to how long it takes before they do something to oust him now that it only takes one?
I don't know how long it'll last. I don't know if it'll last 2 years. I never really doubted that he'd ultimately get it because I know Kevin McCarthy, and I knew Kevin McCarthy would give away anything and everything to get it. And that's kind of sort of what he did.
Yeah. See, I wanted it for him. I wanted him to have it. And I've said this before. I want those 20 people to be the first thing he thinks about when he wakes up in the morning, when he gets his first cup of coffee and gets heartburn. I want those 20 people to be there throughout the day. I want those 20 people on his mind when he goes to sleep at night. I want those 20 characters dancing and creating nightmares in his head while he sleeps, because he deserves that.
Well, I'm going to quibble with your premise a little bit. It's not 20. It's a hell of a lot more than 20. It almost didn't matter really which Republican became speaker,
right?
Because no Republican speaker is going to be able to stop this agenda. And it is, look, Rick, you know, it's not these 20.
Yeah.
The vast majority of Republicans in the House are election deniers. The vast majority of Republicans in the House are Make America Great Again Trumpists. McCarthy's going to have to handle a hell of a lot more than just 20 of them.
Yeah, the point you just made is, you know, the reality is CBS just put out a poll and that said, you know, that, you know, 35% of Republicans think that the party should still be loyal to Trump. Very important that they're loyal to Trump. And 30% said somewhat. So you got 65% of Republicans saying that they should be loyal to Trump still, even though Trump's power was kind of on the line through all this.
Hey, you know this. I served in the House, but you know this. The House perfectly reflects the bases of both parties. It's the people's house. You're closest to the people. We see it on the Democratic side and the Republican side.
That's how it was designed.
Exactly. The Republican Party base, the voters, are pretty fully radicalized. And you're seeing that. We're going to see that play out with these Republican representatives.
But here's the thing. I mean, the first club out of the bag today was this, what is it, small family farmer business? What was it the Family and Small Business Protection Act, which was evidently there's 87,000 new IRS agents we didn't know about. They've all been hired. They're all out there. I guess they're teaming up with MS-13 or who. If you listen to the rhetoric today, it's the end of humanity for working people. This was the first club out of the bag, though. We're going to defund the IRS.
Well, 2 points. And the Democrats did this when they took over the House. What you do is you throw red meat to your base, knowing that it'll never become a law. Well, in this case, Republicans know this will never become a law because the Democrats run the Senate and
right.
Biden would never sign it. So, but you, as, and these House Republicans are going to do a lot of that. They're going to pass bills that have no hope of going anywhere. On this one, Rick, look, I'm torn on this one. I don't like our tax code. I think our tax code is idiotic and complicated. You and I may disagree about a lot on our tax code. I'm not a fan of the IRS, but if you're going to have an income tax, you need enforcement.
Wow.
I don't know what size that enforcement is, but if you're going to have an income tax with a complicated tax code, you need to make sure that people abide by that tax code. Now, Rick, if I had my be all end all, we'd have a flat tax or we'd have a national sales tax. We wouldn't tax income. We'd tax what you take out of the economy. I mean, I'm open to all of that. I would just get rid of our complicated tax code.
Yeah, as where I'm a supporter of going back to the good socialist tax code of Dwight David Eisenhower, our good socialist president.
Oh, my God. Is there a way for me to get off of this show right now?
So what's your problem with Ike? What's your problem with Ike?
Here's my problem with anything. No individual human being should ever be taxed at an 80-90% tax rate. Ever. I don't care how rich or poor you are.
See, this is where I go to the flip side of that. No individual should have $500 billion. No one should have that kind of power.
Wait, wait, wait. But stop a minute. And I love you because you're so genuine in your beliefs. You don't believe that.
I do.
You believe in freedom. You believe as much of an idiot as Elon Musk is. Elon Musk can be as rich as he wants to be, right?
Within bounds. I mean, here's the
what
reality.
Do you mean within bounds?
Here's the reality. When we've got children going to bed hungry, when we've got veterans going being homeless, when we've got workers who are working for poverty wages, when we've got those scenarios going on, I'm sorry, I don't see an economy that we should have someone who's taking so much of it and putting it in their own pocket.
Well,
we've got a distribution problem.
Okay. So that maybe this is a nuance here. I think anybody in America should be free to be as rich as they can be. And I think you believe that. Maybe the difference is you would just support a system where we take more from an Elon Musk.
Yes, absolutely. Right? No, okay. This is where I go back to the Eisenhower tax code. The reality is, and this goes back to the cave, Joe, the bigger your shoulders, the more water you carry back to the cave. We don't ask the scrawny little guy to carry the water back to the cave. We want the big Neanderthal carrying the water back to the cave.
Well, two things. The big Neanderthals in America generally are paying more in taxes than the scrawny guys. But I want to make sure about this, Rick. Like, you believe somebody is free to be a gazillionaire, right?
Sure. Yeah, but okay. We should have a tax code that the bigger your shoulders, the more that you can afford, the more that you pay it. Much like the good socialist President Dwight Eisenhower. Every $2,000, incrementally, the tax rate went up. So the better you did, the more you contributed to society because you're taking more from society.
Well, we should never, ever get to a point where you're taking, the government's taking 70, 80, 90% from anybody. But Rick, if you want the wealthy to pay more, my friend, join me and get rid of this complicated tax code. Get rid of all these freaking loopholes. How about a flat tax where every wealthy guy has to pay 25, 30% of their income, period. No deductions, no loopholes.
See, I would be in favor of a progressive flat tax.
Oh, what do you mean a progressive flat tax? Maybe two rates.
Should a person making minimum wage pay the same flat tax that Elon Musk would pay?
Because in reality, if Elon Musk makes $4 billion a year and that guy and the guy on minimum wage makes what's $50,000 a year, they're both being taxed at say 25%. So Elon Musk is throwing a hell of a lot more into the national coffers.
But the guy making $50,000 a year is paying a larger percentage of their income into this, and their standard of living goes down, whereas it doesn't even affect someone like Musk. So if you make it a graduated system that the bigger your shoulders, the more water you carry.
You and your bigger shoulders, Rick. I'd entertain an interesting debate.
Would you like a different analogy then?
Well, I've got a philosophical problem with progressivity in the tax rate.
Okay.
But I could sit down with you, Rick Smith, and consider a flat tax, including 2 to 3 to 4 different rates.
See, that's sane and rational. I think that
I could sit down with a Rick Smith. You and I could hammer something out, maybe.
Sure, we could. And I believe that that's possible, or I used to. I look at what's going on in the House right now. That's not possible. It used to be. And I don't know who to blame. Is it talk radio? Is it cable news? Is it C-SPAN? Is it all of this stuff where the spotlight was put on these people where, hey, we've got to be actors and performers and characters and you know, I don't know.
You know what? It's I got elected about 8, 9, 10 years ago. It was kind of before Twitter and just at the onset of Facebook. And I don't know. It's like these members of Congress now, Rick, it's like they're all free agents and all they're interested in is promoting themselves.
Yep.
Now, again, I don't want to both sides this. You see it on both sides, but like everything else, it's a hell of a lot more pronounced on the right.
Yeah, it's scary times that we're in right now. Now, here's the thing. I've been saying for a long time, I think the American people need to see what's coming. I think the Republican House clown show is something that that we need to see. Do you think it's going to matter? Do you think people are going to pay attention? Or does this play into the frame of the Boberts and the Gates and all them. That government is the Scott, pardon me, Perrys. That government's corrupt and broken and can't do anything. I'm curious. Thought?
The best thing to happen to Democrats and Joe Biden is the Republicans winning the House.
Great.
And the best thing is Republicans winning the House by a slim majority, because they will spend now 2 years engaging in crap that the American people really don't have the stomach for or don't care about. Going after Hunter Biden's laptop, going after a so-called deep state, trying to put Dr. Fauci in jail. If Democrats are smart, Rick, they'll put out stuff every day, right? Talking to the American people, putting out potential legislation, trying to help the American people. Joe Biden and the Democrats should do that. Now, is it good for the country that the Republicans are in charge? I don't necessarily mind. I think you got to take the long view here. If the view is, if my opinion, Rick, is my former party is a direct threat to our democracy. So the goal should be Democrats have to take back the House in 24. So let Republicans do all their stupid crap.
And they got to hold on to the Senate and you know, ultimately, hopefully, the White House. And I'm hoping Biden decides if he's running for re-election or not, because time is ticking if he's not. You listen to the Rick Smith Show here with Joe Walsh, former Illinois Republican congressman, presidential candidate, and host of White Flag with Joe Walsh. We'll get links out on social media. You can check out his podcast. I wanted to get your thoughts on the rules vote. I thought it would be a little bit more of a fight on the rules. I thought there'd be a couple Republicans to go, no, I'm not so thrilled with these rules. Were you surprised? Only one Republican voted against it?
No, because what I'd heard all weekend is Republicans didn't want to go through at all what they went through last week. And look, the rules package is just generally kind of a set of guidelines and principles and some things you'd like to try to do. Most of the members can wrap their arms around most of that stuff, knowing, Rick, as you and I just talked about it, most of the stuff's never, ever going to happen. What they really want to get onto now is going after the Democrats and going after Fauci and going after Hunter Biden's laptop. That's what they want to do.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where this plays out.
And remember, I got to say this again, Rick. This is really important for your listeners to know. It ain't the 20. It's not 20. There are 222 Republicans in the House. About 160 or 70 of them are election deniers, or they blocked certification of the 2020 election. Marjorie Taylor Greene and Jim Jordan supported McCarthy. They're going to be with Lauren Boebert and Matt Gaetz on every single issue these next 2 years.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. And this is where, again, it comes back to radical self-interest. Sitting in this chair every night, you know, talking about just how crazy they are, and go look at the spectacle, look at the train wreck, and then the other part of me.
Good radio for you.
What's that?
It's going to be good radio for you.
It is. It's good. There's that radical self-interest that this is good for me. It's good for me personally. But the sad reality, it's not good for my kids. It's not good for the future. It's not good because nothing's getting done. And
yes,
this plays. This plays into Republican hands of, you know, we're not going to accomplish anything for the next 2 years. We're not making people's lives better. We're not doing the things that need to be done. We're not doing the people's work.
It is good. It is good for your kids and it is good for your grandkids. Here's why, Rick. Again, we are in a fight to preserve this democracy. We have to take a long view. Yes, nothing will get done the next 2 years. Big deal. Big deal, because the Republicans are going to be what they're going to be. Democrats must let them be that way, because the goal is for Democrats to take back the House and keep the presidency in 24. Take the long view.
Yeah.
What's good for your kids and your grandkids is to get this Republican Party out of power.
No, the fastest see, way for that my problem, to Joe, is I didn't want them in power to begin with.
Well, I know that, but they're there. And
they are
by
there.
The way, they are there because the Democratic Party has some big old freaking problems as well.
Oh, we could spend hours on that, because I'm actually harder on the Democrats than I'm on the Republicans, because the Democrats should know better. It's that simple for me. So let me ask you this, because, you know, I understand you were one of my chew toys back while you were in Congress.
I know.
You were somebody I went after pretty aggressively.
I know. I know.
And now I sit here and look, you know, we're friendly and that's good. Did you ever think you would support a Democrat? I mean, seriously, you were, this is the weird part for me, Joe. You were the extreme of the Republican Party back
then. I was.
You were the extreme then. The party, wow, rocketed past crazy.
Rick, in 10 years, I've gone from musket-grabbing Tea Party guy to a guy who left the Republican Party and is actively helping Democrats get elected. I'm telling you what, this has been a bizarro 10 years. No, but you know, you get it. I'm still a proud Tea Party libertarian. I'm just not a jerk, and I believe in democracy. And this party doesn't.
And the thing is, I'm hoping, and the reason that I find you so compelling is that I'm hoping there are others out there who feel the same way, who look at someone like Donald Trump and go, you know, he's a buffoon and all of that. And he's allowed all of this and encouraged all of this craziness. And now look, Trump didn't do this. He's a symptom of where the party was going for decades. I mean, for me, if I had to pick a moment, it would be Pat Buchanan back in 92, but we could probably even go further back than that, but it's the go back to Nixon and the Southern Strategy if you had to, but you know, the fact that they've gone so far off the rails, it's frightening to me.
Well, and again, what's really important here, they've gone off the democracy rails. Like, I was extreme, Rick, when I was in Congress. I was a jerk, but I was always a jerk fighting for policies I believed in. Yeah, I threatened to shut down the government and do all of that, but it was always policy-based. There's no policy aim to this Republican Party. It is a party that believes in authoritarianism, no longer believes in democracy. It's not even on the policy spectrum anymore. That's really frightening to me. And by the way, you asked, where are all the other people like me? There are plenty of like principled conservatives. The problem, Rick, is we don't have a home. We just don't have a home.
Yeah, because look, the reality is the right has built a massive megaphone. I mean, you know, talk radio and cable news. And I know you had a talk radio show for years that was very popular.
Yes.
You know, and you, to your credit, we're honest to your values and ended up losing that, right?
Threw it all away.
But you
no,
talk.
But Rick, I'm not a Democrat. I mean,
no, I know you're not.
For the record,
I'll vouch for you.
But imagine you, Rick. Imagine you're a good, genuine, principled progressive.
No, I'm a labor guy. The difference is I'm a labor guy.
By the way, I know you've told me this. Are you a registered Democrat?
In Pennsylvania, I have to be a registered Democrat or Republican because it's a closed primary state. I am a registered Democrat.
Imagine you left that party formally. You're not a Republican. I mean, you'd be kind of hanging out there in limbo. Yeah. That's what it feels like.
No, I vote on the labor issue because I think kitchen table economic issues are the most important issues. I think everything else, if we had a better economy that worked for working people, everything else would work itself out. And we could go through issue after issue where if we had more representation in the workplace and more prosperity in families' pockets, we'd be a much better society, but we're not there yet. I vote on those issues.
You promised me something. Sometime in the next 4 months, can I come on and you and I can debate and argue and fight about trickle-down economics? Because I still believe in trickle-down economics.
Oh,
I'd
God.
Love to have that discussion. Don't you start with me, Rick Smith. Rick Smith.
Oh, God.
Rick Smith.
Joe, I've been trickled on enough. It's not the rivers of gold and honey we were promised. It's salty, yes, and yellow, yes, and it's been all bad, Joe.
Don't you start. I'm going to mute you on your own show. Don't you dare start. We need to have a good civil debate about trickle-down economics. I'd love it.
We will do that. Absolutely, without maybe we'll do it on a podcast where we could the FCC language can come out.
That's a good point, Rick. That's a better place. That's a better place.
Because I fear maybe that's one of those things over a beer. Maybe that's where we go.
Yeah, I agree. That would be good.
Good stuff. But Joe, as always, I appreciate the time, man. Really great stuff.
Love you, brother. Keep it up, Rick Smith.
You as well, Joe Walsh. Make sure you check out the podcast, White Flag with Joe Walsh. We'll get links out on social media. You can take a look at that. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Can you imagine that? Now my mind is stuck on trickle-down economics. Thanks, Joe. Quick break, right back after this. We're going to do that. We're absolutely going to do a podcast episode on trickle-down economics. Because, you know, I've been trickled on enough. Right back after this.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Everyone in Montecito, California and surrounding canyons are under an evacuation order after at least 8 inches of rain. Santa Barbara County Sheriff Bill Brown.
The event is already causing some flooding and rock and mudslides across our county.
CBS News learns that the Department of Justice is reviewing Obama-Biden records marked classified that were found in a private office at a think tank founded by President Biden when he was vice president. CBS's Adriana Diaz.
The White House counsel's office tells us that the National Archive retrieved the documents the day after they were discovered, and they are now in a secure location. Now, the U.S. Attorney's review is nearing its completion, and then the Attorney General will decide if a criminal investigation is warranted.
The new Republican majority House under new House Speaker Kevin McCarthy passes a rules package.
This vote, the yeas are 220, the nays are 213. The resolution is agreed to. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Wisconsin state government will soon ban the TikTok social media app. Governor Evers says he'll sign an executive order this week to keep TikTok off state government phones and computers. Critics say TikTok's Chinese owners can track American users and manipulate what news they see. Evers says he made up his mind after speaking with the FBI and Wisconsin emergency management officials. A Wisconsin group that helps injured birds released 4 bald eagles in Sauk County over the weekend. The Raptor Education Group from Antigo says 3 of the birds were poisoned by lead. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources annual Bald Eagle Watching Days is next weekend in Prairie du Sac. In sports, we may have seen the last of Aaron Rodgers as a Green Bay Packer. Commentators are speculating about his retirement after last night's loss to the Lions. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
What is dadication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I've been waiting a couple of days. Been waiting a couple of days for this moment. You may remember. Last time we met, I was talking about the first entrant into the 2024 presidential race. And I remember, you know, saying, look, you know, we've got our first guy. He would completely undo our current foreign policy. We'd be much more muscular with China. We'd be much more muscular with Russia. Called Donald Trump the dumbest person he had ever worked with. Said that attacking your neighbors is not something the U.S. and allies will tolerate. But announced that he was running for president on Good Morning Britain, which was kind of a weird thing. I don't know why you would go to Britain to announce you're running for president, but that's exactly what John Bolton did. And that's why I've asked my good friend Bob Ney to come share some thoughts, former Ohio congressman, political analyst, and big fan of John Bolton. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks. I just admire John so much.
So not, what do you think? What do you think Bolton's chances are? Big launch there on Good Morning Britain, 2.5 minute segment. What do you think his chances of getting the Republican nomination are?
I have more of a chance. I'd say you have more of a chance if they just hear you give a talk. You'll have more of a chance.
You know, I was watching that and I'm going, really? Yeah, he's actually serious. And I'm going, you know, I'm sure it's about selling books. But, you know, if you're going to run for president, don't you think you'd want to, announce it? I don't know. Where you're going to run?
Right. Well, he entered the race with the British media. But that fits in. You know, Bolton is, he's the international guy. When I met with Bolton face-to-face in my office at his request, I always give this quote. People say, what was it like? And I said, well, it reminded me of that Shakespearean quote, when I feel the twitching in my thumbs, something wicked this way comes. And that's how I felt about Bolton. As you know, I've been critical of Bolton forever. When Bolton was picked by Trump, you know, to be the, advisor for the NSA, and I went on Facebook and I just, you know, went crazy with it. And I had a ton of people on my Facebook page that said, you know, Bob, I can't believe you're talking like this, and he's going to be this, he's going to be that. Well, by the time Bolton then got fired, they're coming on the page going, oh, that lousy Bolton, that traitor, you know. John Bolton, if people listening, just if they don't know his particulars, just do a wiki on Bolton. John Bolton has a history of being behind basically all the modern day wars, you know, that are out there. And he also went with the Mojahideen cult when they were a official terrorist group by the United States government. They've been taken off the list now, but he was with them at that time. Anything, and he is completely 190% obsessed with Iran. Anything to do with Iran. Yeah. He wants to nuke Iran. Bolton is like one of the worst people that literally exists on the planet. But Rick, here's what this is about. You know, people went to Trump's, oh, you got to have John Bolton. He's got to be in your cabinet. He's going to fix things. What Bolton did, he was the architect behind undoing the Iran nuclear deal. And so what you see going on in Iran, where the clerics were able to actually recapture the government to an ultra-conservative president, was as a result of that undoing the Obama nuclear deal. Could the Obama nuclear deal have been better, like with Yep. targeting missiles from Iran? Sure. Did the Iran nuclear deal stop and start to reverse the centrifuges? Absolutely. It gave us what we wanted with Iran in the long term. And that's what Bolton didn't like, and he undid the deal. All this disturbance right now, The clerics were able to say, you see what America did to us. We did the deal. We honored the deal, and this is what they did. This was all Bolton. So here's the nutshell on this. He's angry. You know, he's angry at Trump. So he just wants to get into this race to simply sell books, make money, you know, get more money as a think tank consultant. But he wants to irritate Trump. Yeah. That's what he wants to do. No. He wants to make Trump's life miserable because he wants to take Trump's ultra-right base away from him, which technically he'll take, you know, some of them.
Do you think he'll take any of them? I mean, you know, especially with the Russia talk. I mean, because in his little spiel, he was actually talking about defending Ukraine and, you know, not just with sending stuff, but actually getting involved. Same thing with Taiwan.
Well, but I'm saying Bolton will take you know, will take some of Trump's support. But he's just in here to be the irritant to Trump. Now, yeah. I said this on your show in February, because I said it on other shows that I've done too, and I'll say it again tonight. Trump will not be the nominee of the Republican Party. He won't be the nominee.
No, I don't think so either.
So Bolton, and I said it back then, and the day he announced I said it, but it doesn't matter. This is about any way that John Bolton can not only irritate Trump, but how Bolton can make money, be back in the limelight. You know, he's official, but it makes sense that he did this overseas because, you know, he's the, in his mind, he's the international guy. He's the, you know, he's got all these people overseas going, wow, you know, you're saving the world, John. So I think that's what this is about.
Yeah. Now you brought up Iran, and you know, I guess what was
in Iran and money, and he just, you know, now be able to. For the sad part of this, Rick, you know, once he announces like this, he will have a platform where he'll be able to, you know, to say things that will stir every single thing up.
Yay. Now, you brought up Iran, and I guess what, they've executed more people?
I'm sorry, what was that?
They've executed more people now?
Oh, yes, more people are executed now. You know, even the clerics have a certain fear, as, you know, crazy as they are, they have a certain fear. They have executed it, but they have 19,000 people detained who technically are on the execution list. So, you know, they've done a few, and obviously they're getting backlash for it. I'm shocked they haven't done more because in their mind they just, anybody wants to talk about how tough the Shah was, these clerics are far, far worse.
Yeah, it's again, you know, the international, the globally, things are seem to be going crazier and crazier.
Right, it's tough over there for the people.
Speaking of crazy, I look to the House. Were you surprised that the rules slipped right through?
Well, there were only two people beginning to, you know, object to it in the sense they didn't say, you know, we won't do it, but there were a couple of people, and at first, well, let's say this. If this were a secret vote, the rules package would have went down, you know, but it's not. It's not a secret vote, so obviously, you know, they passed. But I'm telling you, the people minus, I call them the members minus the 20, don't want this package. So this is just the beginning. This is going to be the most chaotic Congress in modern history. That is what is going to happen. And I watched one of the 20, I call them, you know, of the ones that went against McCarthy. And I can't remember who it was, Rick, so I apologize, but on the broadcast they said something to the effect that we're running it now. They, you know, we have the voice. We, the 20, have the voice. So are the other Republicans and any centrist Republicans, they're just going to sit back and let this all happen? Or are they eventually going to retaliate? And eventually something is going to happen where somebody is going to get so much heat back home for what the, quote, 20 are doing that they're going to be into an absolute food fight, and it's going to happen publicly, and it's going to happen on the floor.
And that's where, again, as I said a moment ago, you know, sitting in this chair, going to give me the ability to use this as, well, it's going to be fun and entertaining, but it's not good. I don't think it's good for the country.
Oh, policy is going to be tough. And then, look, this is what Kevin McCarthy knows as Speaker. I know Kevin McCarthy, and I've known him for years. And he's going to sit there in the Speaker's office. You're going to have the arm of the party there within the Republican conference, a particular amount of people. Well, first of all of them will go along with, okay, there's going to be an investigation of something. But then eventually, a smaller portion of the Republican conference is going to thrive on these investigations. You know, Jim Jordan, obviously. But a small amount then will thrive on them. And the investigations will become the red meat. They'll become the media focus. Meanwhile, Kevin McCarthy, as Speaker, is going to try to do public policy on different things, the budget, immigration, you know, education, you know, different items that they're going to try to do. But he's going to have a hard time because the investigatory arm is going to dominate. And when they become dissatisfied, the investigatory arm of the conference, when they become dissatisfied, they're going to vent towards the public policy arm that's trying to, you know, bring a mantra before the people so that in 2 years they can say, you know, here's what we accomplished. Now, one good thing I will say, the one good thing is that they are bringing back the process of the budget.
Right.
There's going to be, you know, 12 bills, then they go to the Senate. Of course, in the Senate, that'll dissolve, but that is a good thing. But how they're bringing that process back, by the way, it's like, you know, Pink Floyd's song Eclipse of the Sun. Everything's in tune except it's eclipsed by the moon. So they're bringing this budget process back, but they're also going to flood it with so many amendments that it's probably going to become unworkable.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting 2 years. And again, there's part of me that goes, the American people tune out, and that frame of it's all broken, they're all bad. And people just, my fear is people drop out and drop away.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what was that?
Yeah, it's all bad. It's all bad.
Oh, yes. It's entertainment purposes in a sense. People are going to say, wow. But it's just like when McCarthy had his first vote, right? A lot of people said, oh, okay, yeah. He had the first vote, and then, you know, they'll go into a vote, and then when it kept going and going, it went from, wow, this is kind of really interesting, to, wow, this is really dysfunctional. And, you know, a potential fistfight on the floor and people screaming and doing things. So at first it'll be, you know, a look where people say, wow, look what this one said, look what this one did today. But after a while, it's probably going to be just total dysfunction.
I'm waiting for that. But, Bob, I appreciate the time. As always, good stuff, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks so much. Our good friend Bob Ney, former Ohio congressman, political analyst. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, Rick, @therickSmithShow.com, or give us a call, 1-866-416-RICK, 1-866-416-7425. Quick break. Right back. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. We often think of labor history as an urban movement happening on the shop floor. Yet farm workers have played an important and often overlooked role in labor history. Such was the case today. The year was 1939. More than 1,500 Missouri farmers and their families began a highway sit-in. The action was organized by the Southern Tenant Farmers Union, one of the few unions in the 1930s that accepted both white and black members. The Southern Tenant Farmers Union had been formed in response to New Deal policies. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt's Agricultural Adjustment Administration was meant to aid the nation's farmers, who had been economically devastated due to the Great Depression. Yet little of this federal assistance found its way to the tenant farmers. Landowners kept most of the money for themselves. Displaced tenant families piled all of their possessions along the side of the highway in protest. These farm workers, their families, and all of their worldly possessions lined two major highways in the Missouri Delta. The tenant farmers braved frigid temperatures day after day. As a tactic, organizers published the actions with photos and newsreels. The newsreels showed startling images of the impoverished farmers and their meager possessions huddled in the freezing cold. Embarrassed by the images, Missouri state authorities moved on the demonstrators and forced them off the highway and into areas the protesters called concentration camps. The actions did catch the attention of President Roosevelt, who directed the Farm Securities Administration to provide assistance, including funding for housing for some of the displaced workers. As John Hancock's Great Depression-era tenant farmer, union advocate, singer-songwriter wrote, "Homeless, homeless we are, just as homeless can be. We don't get nothing for our labor, so homeless, homeless we are." Labor History in 2, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on the Twitters at Labor History in 2. Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Laura sent me an email here during the break talking about the Supreme Court case on Tuesday. Now, understand, as I said, I fear this has already been decided. I fear that with the Supreme Court that we have, the anti-worker court that we have, this is going to go through. That they're going to give corporate America the ability to sue workers and their unions anytime there's a strike. But Laura brings up something interesting. She says, quote, bottom line, the GOP and millionaires, billionaires, trillionaire, look around and say, hey, where are our serfs? You cannot leave this job. You cannot leave this town. You cannot leave your skills. We trained you for another employer. You will cost us profits. She writes, serfdom is the goal. They don't want us. They don't want the 1950s. They want the Middle Ages. Before the cumulative effect of the plagues freed the remaining laborers to begin to demand better terms for their work. This is reality. She's not wrong. And it's all about control. You know, the messaging that we're hearing is quite frightening because it's the same kind of chorus over and over again. We hear, oh, nobody wants to work anymore. It's the same chorus we've been hearing for decades. In fact, a guy on Twitter, I forget what his name was. He went back like into the newspapers into the 1800s and came up with this frame of nobody wants to work anymore. And it's the same kind of thing over and over and over again. And this is where, again, we as working people have to push back and push back vigorously. Let's go to the phone lines. Got Kurt on line one. Kurt, how are we doing today?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, Rick. I wanted to see if I'm out here, I'm helping the people out in California with this flooding. And I work for a nonprofit called Team Rubicon USA.org, and basically it's a nonprofit, and it's ran by veterans. Yep. And what we're doing out here is we're helping with the animals that's stuck in the floods and cutting trees down and helping people get evacuated. There's going to be a lot going on out here. And I normally don't ask for, like, support for a lot of the organizations, but if someone can give and donate, it would be really appreciated. And we're going to have our hands full for the next. It's going to go on for a while. They're not even done with the storms that are going to cause this flooding. And it's going to go on till next week. And but it's a really good organization. And, you know, it's we're going to need a lot of help. And it's ugly out here.
And where can people go to donate if they wanted to?
Yeah. And it's the website is www.teamrubiconusa.org. And it's a very good organization. We do disaster relief all across the country. We just finished off in Florida recently with the last hurricane. So
good stuff. We'll get links out on social media how people can check that out. Appreciate it, Kurt. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Rick.
Good stuff. We'll get links out, teamrubiconusa.org, if you want to check out the work that they're doing. You look at this stuff and, the work that people like Kurt and others are doing in these disasters is just, it gives me hope that we can put down the red hats and the blue hats and we can move forward together, that we can do this thing, this self-governance thing. You know, talking with Joe Walsh a minute ago, he said something that I've always believed in the past, that reasonable people can sit down and hammer out an agreement. Sadly, we're coming to an era where that's really not the reality much anymore. And it's not just our politics. I mean, you look at the nonsense we're going to see in the House for the next 2 years. You know, the incentive for Republicans is to do nothing. The incentive is to get nothing done. The incentive is to say no. The incentive is to block any progress, because the wealthy are happy. They're happy with the deregulated environment. They're happy with weak labor laws. They're happy with poverty wage jobs for working people. They're happy with where things are. They're thrilled. So nothing getting done benefits the very well-to-do and big corporations. We know that. Which is why the Republicans are doing everything that they can do to make sure nothing gets accomplished. We don't invest in the future. We don't invest in healthcare. We don't invest in education. We don't help homeless veterans. We don't feed sick kids. We don't do any of that stuff. Oh, Rick, you're being hyperbolic. No, I'm not. They're literally talking about cutting things like Social Security and entitlement programs. They're literally talking about taking food out of the mouths of seniors and children. That is not being hyperbolic. That is just saying, look at what they're saying. Look at what they want to do. But when I hear people like Kurt say, look, you know, I'm out here and I'm doing this work because people need the help. And you go to this website and I'm taking a look at it. You know, the reality is there are people out there who are giving of themselves and helping. It gives me hope that in this country that what we're seeing on the idiot box, what are in the inner tubes, on the Twitters and on social media is not who we are. The worst version of ourselves don't always win. That we can sit down and we can hammer out agreements, that we can work together in the same, we can all row in the same direction. But sadly, you know, we're not. Same thing with, you know, you look at the fact that we've got a Supreme Court that, you know, on Tuesday is going to hear a case that is going to potentially have a massive chilling effect on the ability for workers to use the one tool that they have to make their lives better. And that is the ability to fold their arms and march their feet and withhold their labor. That's it. I mean, we've already neutered the right to strike by allowing scabs to come and cross picket lines. And we bust them in with police protection. And we've got scab nursing companies who go across the country for millions and millions of dollars. We've already weakened. And now? Now they want you to pay. Working people should be infuriated. And I go back to 2015 and 2016 when the former guy was running, saying, this is our future. The attacks on workers will continue. They will get bigger. They will come faster. Until eventually you will have no rights. Sadly, this is where we're heading. The question is, how long are you going to put up with that? How long will you tolerate what is right in front of us? How long? I know. But those Democrats are bad. I'm going to bite my nose off in spite of my face. What's good for the working class, and what's good for workers, and what's good for our communities, and what's good for our economy. Never mind that, because somebody's doing something I don't agree with. I'd all be damned. How ludicrous is that? Want to hear your thoughts, though? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. If you miss any portion of the program, make sure you grab the podcast. Wherever you find yours, you'll find ours.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.